Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a misnomer in marriage that you got to feel a chemistry. Oh, Lord.
Say that again, Tony.
No.
No, he can't get hit. He said that she always believed in chemistry. And I do believe in attraction. I think that's something. But that's not love. And I've seen many people that have that chemistry that 4 or 5 years later hate each other's guts. That's not love. And so I think the teenagers, and this is really for Hannah and Megan and, Charlie Bear back there, and, all the kids in here, as well as the adults and the ones watching on the internet, because somehow we feel like we got to feel that flame, that passion. And that's not what love is at all. And people confuse this. Man, listen, let me tell you what. You don't want to go by your feelings when you're getting married. It may be just gas.
Heartburn.
You know? You may realize, whoa, that wasn't what I thought it was. How many here at one time or another thought that they were in love with somebody? Raise your hand. How many here has loved more than one or two people? Yeah. So love is an interesting thing when you think of it. It's what is love? What's love got to do? You know? So people have been questioning what's love, and there's only one answer for what love is. And it's what God did for you at the cross. And that explains what love is. Now, I want to put the cross up here for a minute. I want to recognize Terry. He is our self-appointed board cleaner. He buys the stuff and he cleans the board. And nobody ever recognizes that. So I appreciate that. When I go to the board and it's clean, that's right. But God the Father offered His Son for us. That's true love. Amen. There is no better example of what true love is. In fact, I was going to start in 1 Corinthians, but let me go to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a minute in the marriage and talk about love. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. The Bible says this, husbands, love your wives. It did not say, husbands, love your wives if they're lovable. It didn't say that. It said, love them if they've got a great body. They got a great smile. Love them if they're attractive. You know what I found out about people as they get older? Their attractions go down. You know, 25 don't need too much makeup. 35, start painting it, baby. We change. Love can't be based upon visual or chemistry because that can change. Love is, he says, husbands, love your wives. It's that simple. It isn't that you have to figure it out. It isn't that you have to go out and figure. Men, if you're going to be leaders of a church, husbands, do what? Love your wife. Say, well, she's unlovable. Well, then you should have picked better. Amen. But what do we know about us? What are we? We're no good. Come on. We're like dogs. Flesh. Enemies. I mean, you can go on and on, right? He didn't love us because we were some cute little thing that he goes, oh, look at that. Oh, isn't that just a precious little thing? I think I'll save her. Oh, I think I'll save him. No, no. He loved us for Christ's sake. Say, well, how could he love us? Well, we could probably not find that kind of love, but God is capable. And when you have God, now watch back, go back to verse 25. Look what he says. Husbands, everybody, say it strong. Husbands, love your wife. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the way. That's what love is. That old Tina Turner, what's love but a second-hand emotion? Well, she had never got it. What's love is the greatest demonstration that has ever been given to the world, and that God made his son to be sin for you. You say, well, I can't love that person. That person's unlovable. Then you don't have the love of Christ, because if you had it, you could give it. Say, you can love your enemies. Listen, I sat in a courtroom, and I would love those kids that killed my son to be here right now and be part of my life and be part of my ministry. I would love to hug their neck and develop them and be part of their development as human beings. I'd love to just share my life with them. I'm not angry with them. And you know why? Because God wasn't angry with me. I ought to be able to share that. Amen? I mean, that's what it's all about. And so people that are in the Christian faith that are running around getting divorces and getting all kinds of disruptions in their lives, guess what? They're not demonstrating that which they say they know. It is amazing to me that people think that I'll love them if they love me back. Or, I'll love them. That doesn't work that way. It is, what does it say? Husbands, love your wife. Period. Didn't say if she was the sweetest thing. And go to 1 Corinthians now, where we started out in verse 13. I believe that you have to understand the love of Christ to be married. People always joke me because I guess I'm somewhat of a jerk. How Brenda can be married to me. But I guarantee you, Brenda feels my love. She knows that she is all that I live for here on this planet outside of Christ. That's it. And the other person I'm just crazy about is Mia. And she's crazy about me too. And if you don't know Mia, it's my dog. My dog was so happy to see me, she about had a cardiac. She could not believe her daddy was home. Her and Brenda were doing twirls in the hall when I came in. Both of them. I thought they were just crazy. But I want you to listen to this for a minute. It's fascinating to me about love. I'm going to start in verse 4, just to kind of cut in. We may come back and read all of it. But right now, we're going to do verse 4. Can you check the air conditioning? I'm a little...
What Mary was, what I was doing, she said, if the woman hit a herd, it's on, it's going full bore. The fan's on, it's running. That's what I just checked. Both of them were on.
Okay. Yeah, it was 64. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. He said, charity suffereth long. That's interesting. That means it can put up with an awful lot. You know, most of us don't put up with an awful lot. You know, charity is has a time bomb that has a long fuse. So when it starts to sparkle, you can cut it off before it explodes. But most of us in life live our lives like this. You know what I mean? What are y'all doing? I guess I've run them off now. That's them down there. It suffereth long and is kind. Listen, let me tell you what. When you love something and you have great excitement for that thing, you're going to suffer it and be kind to it and be gentle to it. You know, dogs are the greatest picture of love. I mean, you can kick a dog and he'll turn around and love you still. I mean, they do. It's an amazing thing. And they'll put up with you. Because you're part of the clan and they don't know anything different. But you know, humans are unique. Humans have an incredible experience because you don't have to love anybody. You can choose not to love. Nothing forces you to love. Now, if you look at this, watch this. Charity is suffereth long and is what? Kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. You don't go around going, oh, look at how much I love. You just love. You don't have to tell people how much you love. Just love. Just have listen. Nobody tells me to get up in the morning and get excited about life. I just do. You don't have to go around and say, hey, listen, people will know whether you love by your kindness, by your gentleness. You know, that kind of thing is so important for love. And it's a choice. See, that's the thing that you got to understand. See, God chose to give His Son for you. So what do we know about love? It's a choice you make. Can you love your enemies? You know, one of the most humbling things I'd ever seen in my life, and I've been blessed with many great experiences in life, and I wish I could share all my experiences with you. But my human experiences equate not to, but really this one thing. I was at Pearl Harbor on an anniversary. And one of the guys that were a Japanese pilot was there with a reef. And I wish I'd have gotten a picture of this. I didn't think about it because I was so taken by the emotion of it all. You know what I mean? You're kind of taken up. He's throwing a reef at the Arizona, the memorial, crying his eyes out. And I said, well, what? You know, I asked the person, what's going on? And he said, that's one of the last Japanese pilots that's still around. There's like 10 or 15, I forgot how many they said, that is still alive and is here honoring the people he shot, telling him in Japanese that he's sorry. Buddy, I tell you, man, we got all choked up, and because you could see the sincerity in his eyes that, what have I done? What did I do? You know, and there went that reef. And I thought about loving your enemies. You know? With that thought, it was only a few decades, short. If you'd have thought that before he shot and bombed, it would have been a different story, wouldn't it? But old men have reflection. And they realize they made mistakes in their lives, and this man realized. And it was very humbling. I'm telling you, it was one of the most humbling things to see a man who'd actually taken multiple American lives feel regretful in putting that wreath in, and his children were standing around him crying, and he must have talked to them greatly. We didn't understand them, so we asked the lady that was standing there, and she said, you're here on a very special day. You know, it was an anniversary day. And boy, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And you know, you can love your enemies. Someone asked earlier whether you thought a mass murderer could get saved. Yeah, I do. Do I think he should be let out? The answer is no. But yeah, I think he can be saved. I think that love reaches beyond every degree of anything you could ever think of. And that's how our love should be toward one another. You know, the brethren should care just like that, one for another. There ought to be an incredible care given to each one in an unbelievable fashion. And you know why? Because we know the love of Christ. Because we know it, we can do it. If you don't know it, you can't do it. You can't produce something you don't know. You can't go back to a place you've never been, my father used to say. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, you know what's interesting about love and charity? It seeketh not her own. You know, God is not doing this for us or for himself. It's not seeking its own. He's doing it for what? For Christ's sake. You don't have to love your wife because you're emotionally... You love her for Christ's sake. You love her for what God has done for you at Calvary's cross. Y'all understand? It is a one-way direction. Love is not a two-way street. God loved us. Y'all understand? That's it. Say, well, they don't love me back. You know, I know there is a lot of people. In fact, Norm was telling me a story earlier about somebody who probably didn't love the Lord too much. And as he talked about the story about the love of God, how he offered his son and died for all their sins, that he got mad and stormed off. You know, God's not going to chase them down and make them love you. You know the old song, you can't make me love you if I don't. There's some people that are not going to love God. They're not going to respect his word. They're not going to believe him. They don't care about him. And you're never going to convert them necessarily by anything you do. Y'all understand? And you'll talk to some people until you're blue in the face. And you know, I thought about Go to Galatians. Hold on to here. Go to Galatians chapter. I love this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What would the holding back the gospel be? Would that be a sign of love or hatred? If you didn't, think about it I want you to think about it for a minute. If you're around somebody and you don't mention the gospel, what are you doing to that person? Are you really expressing the full degree of love? Say, well, if I tell him something about Jesus, he'll get mad. All right. May get saved too. Amen?
Amen.
Well, he says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, we always worry about whether our kids are going to love us. Think about it for a minute. You say you love your kids, then keep witnessing to them. Say it just makes them mad. You're not doing it to make them mad. You're doing it why? Because you love them and you want them to spend eternity in heaven. You understand? The reason you're witnessing to them isn't because you hate them. It isn't because you have disdain of them. You witness to them because you want them to have the same joy and peace and love and understanding and comfort of the Creator of heaven and earth and to have eternal life. So what do? You keep, well, they're going to get mad at me if I force the issue. You know what? It's better to force it now. Can you imagine the picture there for a minute? They don't get saved. Your kids are lost. And there's God Almighty. And there's a crowd of us behind. And they drag your daughter or son in front of God Almighty. And they say, Jimmy, you're going to go to hell. You have been sentenced to death. And you know, when you think about it and when you start to consider that and all that situation that we're talking about, the realization is that those people, you know, will start to look around at you and say, why didn't you witness to me harder? Why don't you take time to make it happen? And what will you be thinking when Jesus, or when God Almighty takes it, says, you two angels grab this person and throw them in the lake of fire? Huh? What would you do if they grabbed your, and you were standing there watching it, and the two angels grabbed your child, your loved one, the one that you birthed, the one you spent time with, the one you thought was everything, your all in all, and dragged him off and dropped him in hell? Would you wish you'd have done something different? Would you have really stepped up to the plate and really loved them and really make a commitment instead of all this artificial stuff about junk that doesn't matter? And you talk about it and talk about it with your kids, but you don't sit down and talk to them about the love of God. You don't sit down and talk to them about the grace of God. And you say you love them? Baloney. Say, well, they may get mad at me. Big deal. I'd rather them get mad at me and hear the truth and reject it from God than never to hear it from my mouth and never to have a serious conversation from me. I'd rather them hear it and die and go to hell by rejecting. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're just going to get saved because all of a sudden, bink, they get saved? They get saved because loved ones share the gospel with them. I remember coming to my dad's house many, many times, and I share the gospel, and that old man threw me out many, many times. So you can't witness to people here. Well, I'm not going to quit loving them. End up he getting saved and getting excited about the truth. But the realization was he hated the preaching of the gospel. And so were your kids. So were your grandchildren. But you know what? You love them anyway. You love them with truth. That's what you love them with. I know Wayne's been through it with his kids. Amen.
Amen.
Keep witnessing to them. Don't give up. You know what? They're giving up is just them testing you to see if you really it's really important to you. You know, they're just going, oh, he's in a phase. Don't give up. Because what are the options if you give up? You think they're going to get saved on their own?
No.
Would you have ever gotten saved not hearing the gospel? I thought about Deborah. She would have never heard it in all those churches. People are sitting in churches lost, going to bust hell wide open, and people don't understand love. You know, I mean, come on. You say you love your children? Sit down with them with the Word of God and talk to them like grown-ups. I thought about Brooke. I love Brooke. Charlie Bug's mama. You know what? You got to sit down with a book. and talk. No play games. Get serious with your kids and love them. Love them. Because you know what? There's going to become a chance when you're not going to get a chance to love them. And you're going to be standing there as those two angels drag your loved ones, your children, your kids, your friends, your neighbors, your moms, your dad. And they're going to literally drag them, are you listening to me? And throw them in the lake of fire right before you. Amen. That's what's going to happen. How many of you think they got a loved one going to hell? Amen. You got one? I got a few. They're going to hit the bottom so daggum hard, they won't even know what hit them. And they will wish for all eternity that you had taken the time and the seriousness to sit down with them and talk to them about the Word of God. Can't give up on them. And when we talk about marriage and we talk about love and we talk about that, it's all centrally to the truth. Paul witnessed to people that turned to his enemies and wanted to kill him because of what he said to them. Time and time again. Say, well, how bad can it get? Trust me, it can get bad. I used to drive from Houston to see my dad. And we'd get to witnessing and talking about Jesus Christ. And my dad literally threw me out, I bet, 5 or 6 times. You know what? Came back next year, same abuse. You know why? I loved him, and I wanted him to get saved. When was the last time you had an intelligent conversation about one of your loved ones about the Word of God? I mean, you sat down, say, hey, I want to show you some things I've learned. Wayne has had an experience. He put some things up on Facebook, and somebody answered. Be careful. So then he calls me up and says, what do I say to him? I don't know. Let's hear what you got, you know. Well, okay. Well, finally, he got pretty arranged pretty good. But you know why I learned the truth so well? People ask me all the time, how did I learn the Bible? How many people have you sat down with and literally showed the truth to? With the Word of God, you, the Bible, and him. From the time I got saved until the time I was called to preach, I bet I've sat down with about 1,500 people. When we first got here, how many nights did we go out? Every night. Somebody different every night. Larry one night. You know, this person, Merrill, another night. You know, we went out every night. And we were in somebody's home showing them the truth. How many homes did we get thrown out of? We got thrown out of a few. But you know what? I didn't go into that home to get thrown out. I didn't go into that home because I went to that home and wanted to go to that home and that they might receive the love of the Lord and be saved. That they might hear the gospel of the grace of God. I'll never forget witnessing to Larry's dad. We went over to Larry's dad and mom. Wanted to talk to him about the Lord. Larry's excited and fired up. And I went over there and I said, Mr. Burke, I want to show you two things. One, there's a hell and you're going there. I want to show you two things. Remember that? Is that not what I said? I said, I want to prove that there's actually a hell and you are absolutely 100% going there. But I got some great news if you're interested at the end. So I spent 2 hours showing him that he's no good, that there's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I showed him verse after verse. I laid out the labor of love, and then I showed him the finished work of Calvary, that he paid for all of his sins and stuff. And then I said, well, I didn't show him all of the cross at that point. Showed him that there was a hell and that he was going there. And I said, I got some great news. And I literally got up. And I said, if you want to hear it, you can ask me to sit back down. And I started heading toward the door. And Daddy Burke said, I'd like to hear it. So I came back and preached the finished work of Calvary at him. He didn't get saved right then. But I'll never forget old man Burke stood up about where Deborah was. And, well, actually, he was sitting next to Larry, which Larry used to sit three rows back. He's finally made it to the second row. He's going to make it to the first row before he goes. Anyway, he stood up. I don't know how old Daddy Burke was at the time. He was about 85, something, 84, something like that. He was shaking, tears running down his eyes. And he said, December, I trusted the Lord as my Lord and Savior. Thank God we went to that house that night. Thank God. Thank God. You want to take me to the house? I'll go to Tallahassee. You invite me over. I'll go talk to some people. You Bronx, you got some people for me to talk to? I'll go talk. They may get mad at us. But I'm not going for them to get mad. I'm going that they might get saved. And I'm not going to build a church. I'm going to build a body called the body of Christ. And it isn't fun and it isn't easy. I did it with Wayne and Mary about 3 hours one night. Sat there and kept pulling out. Stan's house, I don't know how many times I went down there. Jim, how many times did you come in the shop that I sat down and showed you and showed you and showed you? Dozens. Every time he came to try to sell me something, hey, let me show you something else on the board. And we'd have a Bible class. I didn't invite you to church right away. Well, definitely don't drink the Kool-Aid. But I wasn't doing that because I wanted another member. I did it because I wanted them to be saved and have eternal life. And I'll never forget when Gloria said, I want to meet you after church. And I said, okay. She came to my house and she said, I think I'm lost. I said, what do you mean you think you're lost? We talked about it. Well, she ended up getting saved. You see, guys, what I'm trying to tell you is that the love of Christ is what you have love toward each other and toward your wife. It's the same love. It's a directional love. It's a choice. And you know, Daddy Burke died. I'll never forget. He said, he walked out Sunday. He died on a Tuesday. He came Sunday to church and he said, I'm not going to be here much longer, Barry. I want you to take care of Lair. Come on, Daddy Burke, don't put that on me. He's crazy as a Betsy bug. He said, but when I die, he said, just know that I went to be with the Lord. Cool. Cool. Like burying people like that, amen. It was a little bit rougher with Mrs. Burke. Daddy Burke came up to me right in the funeral parlor and said, Barry, don't preach her into heaven. She's a lost Baptist. I mean, just a few minutes before the funeral. Yikes! But you know what? Here's the facts, boys and girls. Not everybody laying in those coffins. Head up. You got it? 99.9% of them die and are in hell tormented because they thought religion was something they were doing. They've been baptized. They walked the aisle. They read the books. They did all that they could do. And you know what? They were still lost. You can't figure it out. You know what you do? You receive love just like you give it. It's a choice. Say, well, that person loves me an awful lot. Well, you can choose to accept that love or you can shun that love. Amen? You know, the realization is it's amazing, isn't it? You know, I realized that in my 50 years of walking around spinning planet Earth that I don't know a lot. But you young kids in here, listen to me. When you make choices, your choices are important, but make your choices based upon the Word of God and not your feelings. But Daddy, I love him. Yeah, you will love three or four other people. You know how many people got divorced thought they loved someone else? Give you a hint. Almost all of them. When you get after three or four times and you've been married three or four times, you know what you learn? You're not any good at it. Quit. Stop. Amen?
I got a friend that's going on number
six.
Six.
You know what? Don't do it. You obviously haven't figured it out. You know why? Because people think that love is what? Reciprocal. And that's not the way it is. All right, take a break. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. Oh. Well, in that case, you get a little more. How many here would like a little more or a little more break? All right. You wanted more break, didn't you, William? William.
There's donuts and coffee in the back. He was looking for donuts and coffee. It's not even 20 minutes still yet.
All right, good. My clock is confusing me. I'm confused by the clock. Tick tock. You know, we got to keep Terry from handling the other new clocks. He drops them. You know, now we got this old thing that I used to work well. What happened to it?
It's done it before. We've usually said it, but this time we didn't get it set in time. So preach till about 11 o'clock by that clock, and you'll be about right. So.
That's a lot. I want to take a break.
Preach to 5 minutes.
You know, it's kind of like getting hungry at noon. I don't know. I get noon, I'm like, I'm hungry, and I'm not really hungry. They don't believe in grace, brother. All right, well, let's keep going. So with this whole concept of love, most people think it's reciprocal. I'll love you if you love me back. Or that love is 50-50. Here's what love is. Ready? One direction. You make a choice of love. And you don't do it because, I just feel like loving somebody. You do it. Well, look at the things that it does. I hear people put down their wives and try to make them jealous and things like that. That's not love. Look at it. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. See, that's very important. You're not in it for you. Love isn't about you. Love is about the other person. Y'all get that? I mean, love isn't about you. It's about the other person. How can I make your life better? How can I make your life more comfortable? I'll give you an example. I love Terry and Lisa. And in our relationship with Terry and Lisa, I've tried to show them how to be debt-free. Haven't I? Shake your head yes or no. Don't wiggle the camera. I saw you wiggling the camera. Why would I take the time to do that?
Because you love them.
Because I love them. I want them to enjoy the same kind of thing that Brent and I are enjoying. Right? Hello? So... When you talk about you seek not your own, I don't want anything out of them. But I want them to enjoy it. Well, that's love. That's when you know it's love. And that's why children get so confused when their parents chastise them. Sometimes they can't equate. Why are you punishing me? And then you look at them because I love you. Why? I can't let you go in that direction. You're going to hurt yourself. I wouldn't love you. And yet we don't talk to them about the serious things about the Lord Jesus Christ and let them drop off into hell. That's weird to me. Isn't that a little bit weird to you? Is that weird? Say, well, let's talk about Auburn football. Let's talk about NASCAR. Let's talk about Jesus Christ. No. What? Let's talk about the most important thing. Nope, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you want to just keep talking about NASCAR? Yep. What about the important things? I want to talk about those. And you know what? They'll either separate from you because they will not receive your love, just like the lost walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it for a minute. It is like a fish out of water. Love is, look at what it says. Verse 6. Well, verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Are you doing it for gal? Are you showing people the truth to show them how much you know? No, you're showing them that truth to see if they can get it and get saved. Right? I mean, you ultimately want them to be saved. I feel like I'm just kicking really hard here in the water and not going anywhere. You guys look, you guys came in all lively and now you're like. People get married and they think they're supposed to feel something. And that movie Fireproof, the reason it was so doggone good is they took Kirk Cameron, and the notes basically told him to love his wife no matter what. And see, he had gotten distracted in his object of love. He put it into pornography. He put it into his boat and all the things that he thought was important in his life. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with marriage counseling with couples, and it's all about things. Even in the divorce, all it is about things. It's not about each other anymore. And what's happened is they took their direction. And this happens 9 out of 10 times with Christian and non-Christian, is that mom and dad put a lot of energy into said kids. And when the kids leave, mom and dad don't know each other. Well, if you love that person, why would you divorce them? Why would you leave that person? Say, well, he didn't treat me good. Well, it didn't say to love them if they treated you good. They committed adultery. How many men here would be guilty of adultery if you use Matthew's definition?
All of us.
Well, why are you judging her or him so harshly? Say, so can't get over adultery, then you never really loved the person in the first place. See, God loved you while you were yet in sin. Enemies. He loved you when you didn't do anything for him but shake a fist and say, God, I hate you. God, I hate you. That's when God loved you. Say, so, well, I never said that. Then you probably don't know anything about the love of God. I've been good all my life. And you think you're getting there because of your goodness. And you know what? He died for sinners. Amen? And you know what? When you start to see that love and you start to understand that love, then you can share that love. And that means with a life. I went in the last few minutes to tell you about a tape I heard years ago, and I wish I had a copy of it. I don't know what happened to it. Brendan and I bet listened to it 4 or 5 times. And it was this couple that had gone to Israel, and his wife had gotten very, very sick. She was beautiful. They had 2 or 3 kids. And all of a sudden, in Israel, she got sick. So they kept her there in Israel for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks and said she's not getting any better, you know. So they flew her back to the United States, and they were trying to figure out what's wrong with her because now she's drawn up into the fetal position and like this, and she's basically a vegetable. And so they got her to the hospital over in the United States, and they did test after test, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And they tapped her spine, and nothing but milk came out. And the doctor came out and said she had spinal meningitis so bad that her brain is now dead. She will never, ever be anything more than she was right there. And this was a James Dobson tape. And so every day that man would dress his wife in nice clothes and blow dry her hair and spend an hour putting on her makeup. And they said, you don't understand. She's never going to be your wife again. And the guy just kept loving her every single day. Comb her hair. Says she'll never say the IBCs. She'll not know who you are. She's brain dead. Said, I don't care. It's my wife. I'm going to love her. And he just kept brushing her hair and putting on the makeup every day and sitting her up and talking to her just like she was a real human. And as he's giving the speech, she walks out on the stage. And he said she would never walk. And she would never talk. And she said, I want to tell you how much my husband loves me. See, you got to learn to love when there's people unlovable. You got to go beyond the degree of what you think love is. And if you could start to grasp this concept of love, you would have a tremendous blessing. Because that's what love is. That guy, he worked with his wife 5 years without her saying the word. And now, 15 years later, she can speak and all that. And you know what, guys? That's what it says when it says, husbands, love your wives. Amen? Y'all take a break. We'll be back in 15.